Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, things a little bit different today as we're talking about and going down kind of a dark road. But a reality that's out there, it's growing. It's been around for a while. We all hear about human trafficking and child sex trafficking, and I think most of us are aware of it, how bad it is, what's actually happening in the world. Is there anything that can be done? And I was telling my guest today, Mark, who's with the Counter Human Trafficking Joint Task Force, and we're not going to tell you a whole lot about that. And if you're on Facebook Live, Mark is actually in the studio with me, but you're not going to see him. You're going to hear him. And in the last 6 to 8 weeks, I would say I've gotten a consistent kind of ongoing amount of messages, mostly through Facebook, of people saying, hey, Steve, you need to talk about sex trafficking and child sex trafficking, and we got to talk about this, and this needs to come up. So more and more people have been saying that we've done shows on it in the past, but obviously we need to do it more often. So today, that's what we're focusing on. We're going to start with Mark. We're going to start kind of generally with the problem and what's going on. We're going to be at kind of an international level, even though Mark is based here in America. He's mostly the things that he's doing are international. So we're going to talk about that first. And then we're going to talk to Jeff, who's going to join the conversation. Jeff and Mark know each other. Jeff's with All Things Possible, which is Victor Marks. Victor Marks has been on the show before and does a lot of work with orphans and refugees, done a lot of stuff in the Middle East. And actually, I think the last time that we had Victor on the show, he called in from a sat phone. They were about 30 minutes outside of Mosul and had just rescued a little girl off the streets there when ISIS was tearing up the country. So we've got a lot of ground to cover today. Mark's actually been on the show before, but it's been a while. Mark, how are you? Good to see you.
Doing great. Thanks, Steve, for having us.
You're welcome. Okay, Counter Human Trafficking Joint Task Force sounds kind of intense. It sounds dangerous. It sounds official. So kind of give us the 101 on what it is and what you guys are doing, and then we'll get into more specifics.
Sure. We really were founded to meet the demand from other countries outside of our borders who needed assistance and help fighting trafficking within their country. And, so we are a small team, but we utilize a great deal of past experience and resources of those been trained, past law enforcement, special forces intelligence. And we focus in going into a country, working at the highest levels of government that we can within that country to create understandings and agreements to help them, and then we get busy. And that sounds easy, but that takes a lot of groundwork, a lot of time, and a lot of effort. But this is a faith-based show to say that God has given us much favor in what we're doing.
Yeah, it certainly is true. And this isn't. And by the way, how long have you been involved with this now? I'm not going to dive too much into your background, but.
Right.
How long is it been?
Focus solely on human trafficking for a good 4 years.
Yeah. So you got a bunch of former special forces. This is, I know it sounds, Counter Human Trafficking Joint Task Force sounds like a bunch of bureaucrats. It isn't. Because you guys are actually down on the level.
Right.
And give us just kind of what you guys do as you're encountering and going after the people involved in especially child sex trafficking around the world. Kind of take us through the whole nuts and bolts of how it actually works.
Okay, sure. There's a lot of good work being done, obviously, both in America and then offshore. I think what we do is quite unique and special because of our team and who we are. And that is, as I mentioned, working with that nation's government. We don't go in rogue. We're not going in just to rescue a couple of kids and raise a lot of money or something. That's not at all our objective. Our objective is to put something in place that is long term. And so to do that, you have to connect the dots within the good people of every government. If there's a good attorney general, let's plug him in. If there's a bad minister of interior, avoid him. If there's, we put those people in place together with us. And then we get busy, meaning we have to train, equip, and put together a trafficking unit. Now, some countries have that already available, but they're not working. They're not effective, and so we'd address that. A lot of countries don't have it. But what we look for is to create a unit that has, I would say, jurisdiction over the whole country, not just a local police group, And so we've done this effectively now in countries, and that is to train, to eliminate those who don't make the training over a period of time and then bring it down to five or six individuals who we can advise, assist, and accompany, and we can work based on their intelligence in different projects to rescue children, and then we stay active with them. And, you know, my team are great. They're servants, man. They have missionary hearts with, you know, one with tactical backgrounds,
yeah.
Okay, you know, and we spend hours and days of our lives just pouring into these individuals, because long-term is that we have to have them operating, working with good intelligence, hopefully eventually have them funded through their own government so that when we're not there, they're getting the job done. But we don't ever leave that foreign unit. We're never too far from them. I've seen organizations kind of similar show up, throw some money at something, not really do the proper training, and then they wonder why a year later they've been exploited and their reports are all made up, and you know.
And this is so. You mentioned intelligence several times. Obviously, there has to be a bunch of intelligence, but this is frontline raids going into places where child sex trafficking is happening. You're going after the bad guys. You're trying to rescue kids. This is all the stuff. This is like, for a lot of people, think movies. Okay, when you see this kind of stuff going on and they're busting into places, that's essentially what's happening.
I don't want to sensationalize it.
No, I understand.
But you know, it in foreign countries, it is very aggressive. Whether it's a, you know, and as one thing we focus on is the traffic routes to the States. Okay, so how we do that is after that training and gathering of the intelligence. If there is not strong intelligence, we begin to work heavily in the nightclubs of maybe the capital of that country. You know, that's a 10 to 4 a.m. job. And you will quickly learn what nationalities of girls are being trafficked in that country, the age, all of that, you know. And so that's a quick way to gather a great deal of intelligence from the local trafficking rings, who are also always typically a source for the international trafficking rings, you know, to feed them, depending on, you know, the country we're working in.
Because this is basically a worldwide network. Is there a lot of interconnectedness?
There is in regions. I mean, internationally, you know, they say 7 out of 10 victims in slavery or trafficking are through Asia-Pacific region. All right. And I've worked there as well. And that is a place where there are some massive trafficking rings. I'm aware of one right now that goes into the Middle East that we helped interrupt recently. We only were able to rescue 6. But out of what we gathered, it's estimated over 20,000 girls are being moved in that ring.
Yeah, and when we come back, we're talking to Mark, Counter Human Trafficking Joint Task Force, down there on the level. When we come back, Mark's going to take us into some of their recent incursions, things that they've been involved in. This is not going to be easy to hear. There's some very young ages and some remarkably dark things going on, but you need to know what's going on out there so that we can be fully aware and fully engaged. And we praise the Lord for Mark and his team. We're going to hear from Jeff as well in the bottom of the hour. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Counter Human Trafficking Joint Task Force. We're talking to Mark, who's one of the founders and one of the lead operators there. There's only so much information we're going to give you. We're not going to send you a website. That's a general enough name because Mark's here in the studio, but he's not on camera for Facebook Live. If you're wondering why I'm looking off to the side talking to somebody, it's not my shadow. It's actually Mark's in the studio with me. So we're just kind of understanding human trafficking, what's happening around the world. Mark does a lot of, he was just out of the country recently. He'll be heading out of the country again in the near future, right? You're heading out again. These are our brothers in Christ. These are Americans. These are experienced people, a lot of former special forces people. This is nitty gritty down on the level, working with foreign governments that are cooperative in order to enable them and train their own people, but then they go in with them. Actually, frontline things happening. So, Mark, again, thanks for being here today. And just take us into your world a little bit so we can kind of understand what you're seeing. And then as a believer, I'll always ask this question. How do you deal with what you see? But give us some examples of some things that you've run into recently so we understand just how dark this is.
Some of the darkest environments that we work on is the night work. We also participate in border operations. We participate in some undercover work, sting type operations. Right now we've got an enormous list of orphanages posing as orphanages but being utilized for trafficking or sexual exploitation of the girls there. Like that's what I was doing last week. I was undercover, in a place to understand, is this lead staff member participating in this? Is this connected to America? Is this an isolated issue of a staff member who's exploiting children on cam videos? You know, all of that has to be, and those take time. But some of the worst situations by far that our team sees is the nightclub issues. So when, after we train a unit, as I described earlier, and equip them, we now want to assist them to hit the nail on the head. And for us, in most countries, third world countries, it's in that what we call sleazy environment at nighttime, brothels and clubs. And, you know, we work with that team. We get a judge on hand. We do everything that's necessary to do what has to be done, our MOU in place to do this. So in those environments, Steve, it is like Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, typically you'll go into an area where it seems like a restaurant. You pass through another door, and it becomes a little bit, you know, dirtier. And typically in the back, there's often, you know, strip club-type environment, beds, and liking of that. So our unit, along with the unit we've trained there, there's about 10 of us, we'll go in, and we've determined how we'll enter that facility, what the judge would like us to do, if that's, you know, put everybody down, if that's turn the lights on, or if that's just quickly move the alpha team into the deepest section of the buildings. And in those environments, some of those countries, there might be 200 men. There might be 100 to 200 men in those environments. They're heavily armed in some of those countries because with trafficking comes drugs, narcotics, obviously, and guns. So we try to get in quickly. We've trained that team scenario-based how to, you know, hold the door, how to secure the building, how to get to the back, remove the girls, the victims. Average age we see in a lot of countries. Now, I've rescued down to infants, okay, in Asia-Pacific. But the traffic routes to the States tend to be about 13, right in that age. And so we secure the girl and extract her at that point, you know, and moving back out.
Almost all girls, but not exclusively.
Yeah, not exclusively, no. I mean, I remember a little boy I'll never forget. I think it was 2 years ago. He was on a couch full of men, you know, being perpetrated. So in the second story of a nightclub.
How old was he?
9 years old.
Nine.
Yeah.
Just repeatedly raped, sodomized over and over.
Yeah, most of them, you know, the orphan crisis in these countries create an environment where, you know, it's not hard to create a trafficking, you know, situation. So they can pick up boys, girls, promise them different things. There's slavery at hand, labor slavery that they're useful for, and then they're used at night. But that, that young man's doing far better now. So.
And how are they getting these little children, literally? Because we were talking about this earlier before the show, and we were having a cup of coffee somewhere. And I'm saying, it sounds like it's kind of like the SPCA system here, the pound in America, where you got stray dogs and cats, and they get picked up by the pound, and then some people come in, and you go get a cat or a dog from the SPCA. It sounds like it's kind of the same thing with these little children and trafficking. Is that about right?
Yeah. Like I said, the orphan crisis is a real problem in a lot of countries, and the poverty level. And so whether it's a full orphan that just is living on the street that is picked up as inventory for, you know, a club or a trafficker, or – the issue at hand is also poverty. A single mom, can't afford. So she's promised, "Hey, your 8-year-old, we have a job for her." Or she just outright sells the girl, you know, or puts the girl out into that position. Says, "Look, we need money. Go do this." And it's so sad because there are countries, Steve, where you know, in America, we like to sensationalize the whole trafficking thing.
Sure,
you know, we think kids are being sold for $10,000 on the internet on Wayfair.
Well, everybody's talking about Pizzagate. What's
going on
in Hollywood?
They,
I brought that up to you recently.
They don't understand that there is such a volume of inventory available.
So that's like the tiny tip of the iceberg. You're looking at an ant when the elephants are coming over the walls.
Yes.
Not that it doesn't matter. Of course it does.
It doesn't matter. And I mean, but a trafficker is not going to the extravagancy of building a website, putting up furniture, selling it for $10,000 when he can go to San Domingo or some other country nearby and pay $3 for a girl
all day long. Yeah, everything's on the level.
And have as many as he wants from multiple countries.
You don't need to play any games there.
Right. And so it's such a sad environment to know that a mom sold a child and is pimping her out or letting her sell herself for sometimes a buck, a dollar, $1.50, depending on what the economical situation of that country is and where you're at. You know, obviously more developed countries, the inventory is worth a whole lot
more. How much is America part of the system and part of the engine?
Well, you know, I think Jeff will talk a lot about that, but it is it's definitely the largest consumer of child pornography, and it creates a great demand. I mean, we've worked with, you know, some caseloads in south of us here where the perpetrator is an American who's requesting images and pictures on the internet. He's into child pornography, but he's taking it another level.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to that country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he is going to abuse the actual children.
Yeah.
Like he's connected dots through somebody in Europe. Somebody in Europe's, you know, we've seen that.
Yeah.
And worked those cases as well. But
we're both fathers. We're both followers of Christ. How do you manage this? Emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I mean, it doesn't really get any darker than this on the planet.
Right. My wife asked, you know, she does a good job helping me with that. It is something I would say that the reason God in his sovereignty has my involvement now in this issue is because I'm a little older and wiser, and you know, life can be can be handled better.
Yeah.
I think if I was younger,
yeah,
it would not
more foolish
fit well. Yeah, it would not sit well because the images we see in these clubs are, they're beyond X-rated,
and you can't.
It's hard, and when you're trying to ID a girl,
you can't, yeah.
Who's being abused, and you know you're trying to make a determination real quick to move a perpetrator off, and then determine is this girl 13 and she's got a wig on to make her look 18. What's going on here? You know, and that takes time, and
man.
You know,
yeah. I mean, I don't often stumble on my words, but I'm stumbling on this one. How do the kids act?
Yeah, but
we got about 30 seconds.
Sure. Depending on the situation and where they promised a job, some kids might be mad if you're getting them at the border. If they're in an environment like a club, there are some who are drugged and we're given Narcan just to get them out the door who are thrilled to be rescued. There are some who are in the system. They're in that involvement. They're 16, 17. They think there is no hope. And they're like, just let me do this. This is my job. But that's where we have wonderful aftercare partners that we facilitate with.
We're talking to Mark, Counter Human Traffic Joint Task Force. We're going to talk to Jeff when we come back.
If you're happy in your stuff, and if 10%'s enough, stay away from Jesus.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about child sex trafficking, human trafficking in general. Mark is here in the studio with me, although he's off camera. So if you're watching on Facebook Live, he's here in the studio, but he's off camera for obvious reasons. These guys are on the ground in other countries, and this is very sensitive stuff that they're doing. So we have to be careful with that, with the Counter Human Trafficking Joint Task Force. And then Jeff is joining us. Jeff, with All Things Possible, Victor Marks has been on the show before. And Jeff is a good friend of Mark's. But tell us about Jeff. You introduce Jeff, and then I'll bring him on.
You know, Jeff, I know, has quite the bio, and if you go to All Things Possible, you'll see his background. It was 25 years in USOC, and he's got a great deal of experience in counterterrorism and insurgency expert, and he's doing a lot of training and all that. Now he's devoting that all to trafficking. Well, when I first met Jeff, it was overseas, and despite all of your amazing background, Jeff, I'm going to tell you why you stayed in my mind.
By the way, Jeff, welcome to the show. And I've been waiting for Mark to tell me all day. He's like, he's got all this great experience. He's a great guy. Belly does all this great stuff. But there's one reason I really like him, but I'm not going to tell you until he's on the air.
And why I followed him in his fight against human trafficking, because he was fighting it then when I met him, and was doing stateside work because he was doing something overseas then. But the thing is that I was talking to him, and I know he was a tier one guy and a great guy, but he told me when he worked out that he listened to J. Vernon McGee.
Wow,
that's what
that's
he listened.
Some old school discipleship there, bro.
We're like we're in Kurdistan or Iraq, and when he tells me that, I was like, I'm going to follow this guy. I think he's the real deal.
I follow you as you follow J. Vernon McGee, as J. Vernon McGee walks literally right next to Moses.
Right, yeah. So when he said he watched him, I was like, I listened to him while he worked out and everything.
Awesome.
That stuck with me, Jeff. So that's why I've kind of followed you, man, on your previous efforts and fight. Now I'm so glad that you're the new COO of ATP, right?
All Things Possible with Victor Marks. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot, Steve. Mark, looking forward to seeing you again. Yeah, I don't remember saying that, but you know, it's interesting because a guy like J. Vernon McGee, I mean, when you hear him for the first time, he's timeless. I mean, the voice is unforgettable. I tell you, he was with me for many years, many rotations in and out of Iraq. He was kind of a stable place for me to relax and work out and run and just hear what the Lord was saying.
Your comrades are listening to Metallica, and you're listening to J. Vernon McGee. That's perfect. All right, so Jeff, we wanted to concentrate with your side of the show here a little bit more on what's happening on the domestic human trafficking here on the state side of it all. Amber on Facebook Live was asking a question about what's going on? What's the best questions to ask our local politicians in reference to human trafficking, and what do they do to combat this industry in our backyard? So help us understand what's actually happening here in the states.
Sure. Well, you know, I've been listening in, and what Mark has been talking about internationally, there are a lot of similarities, and then there are some differences. So let me mention a couple of different things. What's interesting is when Mark goes into these other nations, he's trying to work at the highest level possible. And the answer in America is not at the highest levels possible. It's at the lowest levels possible, okay? Because we have communities, we have churches, we have local governments that are all empowered to affect this change. So, you know, where I'm coming from, I was with, for 5 years, a organization called Guardian Group. And Guardian Group followed this model like we did overseas. As a special forces guy, look, man, I didn't meet with Karzai. I didn't meet with Maliki. You know, I was meeting with warlords and tribal leaders and village elders, and that's where we were affecting the change. And why those wars haven't had a happy bow put upon them is because we just didn't connect the lowest level successes, one valley at a time, one village at a time, with the federal level. And I think that is the model in the United States. We are so decentralized and so independent that I think people out there have more power and influence than they realize, not focusing it all to Washington, D.C. and having it trickle back out, but right in their own communities.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important point, because we tend to think federal, that's what we get fed all the time. We're talking about Trump and Pelosi and Biden and all that, but there's still a lot of action on the local level. How bad is the human trafficking in the United States, Jeff, and especially when it comes to children?
We are, unfortunately, incredible consumers. So what you were talking about with Mark was a lot of the Western nations that are traveling internationally for what they call the sex tourism. We don't quite have the open markets like you see overseas, but the commercial sex industry in the United States is absolutely alive and thriving. Mm-hmm. There are over 150,000 new sex ads a day that are posted. So when you think of that, and what I'm talking about is the commercial sex industry, where women and girls predominantly, they're being sold online. You can order them up like they're a pizza. And that is just running in every city. Every city in America, every town in America, you can order a girl and have her delivered to you. And then it just takes a little bit extra work by law enforcement to try to figure out if that victim is a minor or an adult. And the U.S. is really hyper-focused on the minors, and I get it. You have to interdict that cycle as early as possible. And that's one of the reasons why we've built an incredible apparatus of Guardian Group. They're identifying victims online. They're getting that information to law enforcement. And with ATP, we're really going to try to tackle the pedophile problem, these men that have this addiction, this sickness for prepubescent children. It's a really tough space to work in, and it's impossible for me, Steve, to even tell you what the dollar amount is on that market, because it's much more closed. But you can extrapolate from what we can see in the open sex economy in the United States to what is potentially out there in the more underground economy.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And, you know, I think on a national level, we hear about it when the Super Bowl comes around. And I told Mark this earlier before the show even started. And when we started the show, I'm getting an increasing traffic from people asking me to talk about this more on the air. And there's obviously an uptick, and it's continuing to grow. But what kind of successes are we seeing here? Obviously, the problem is growing. The demand is huge. The depravity of America, as we continue to kind of spiral down in our lack of morality, are we actually winning anything here in America, or are we just kind of fighting back the tide?
You know, I think, Steve, if we would have talked a year ago, I would have been much more confident in the fact that we were winning. But with the combination of the COVID-19 virus, how that has bankrupted cities across America, just caused us to thrash budget, And then this current sentiment and unrest with defunding the police, or even if it is going to end up being more like reallocate funds from the police.
Yeah.
We are at an all-time high for vulnerability and exploitation. Mm-hmm. The children out there in the United States, the American boys and girls that are vulnerable for this, are lonely, isolated, and much more accessible to these predators because they're living, their life has become much more online.
Yeah.
So while we have made progress over the years, we have taken an incredible hit over this last year, and I don't see us coming out of it anytime soon, especially not with Americans raising their voice and saying, I need to see something done, and or when you talk about reallocating funds,
yeah,
investing in these companies like what Mark is doing and what we're doing with All Things Possible and what Guardian Group is doing, investing in these private companies, these nonprofits that exist to support law enforcement and fight this crime from another avenue.
Yeah, and that's just one. I've been talking about this for months, Jeff and Mark, that there's so many dominoes that are lining up behind the coronavirus itself. There's so much. We are not even hardly seeing the tip of the iceberg right now in terms of all the dominoes that are starting to fall and will continue to fall as a result of how we've reacted to the coronavirus, where we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. And I even hadn't even thought about that angle, that we are all way more online. People are isolated. The CDC, for goodness sakes, the other day came out and said about 25% of 18 to 24-year-olds have contemplated suicide in the last 90 days. And so but that really just tills the soil for more and more of trafficking. Is that basically what you're saying?
It is exactly what I'm saying. And, you know, Steve, I don't know if you have any kids still in school. My boys are all in college right now. But, you know, when I was growing up, if coronavirus hit and we had to leave school, we'd have been like, heck yeah, let's go here. It's time to play some football, you know?
That's right.
But that's because we came from healthy families. When you think of these children that are now being locked in a room with their abuser, you know what I mean? That's the thing. I couldn't imagine when they heard that, hey, you're not going to school for the rest of the year.
Oh,
and they thought, oh my goodness, I am now in this apartment with my mom's boyfriend who is sexually abusing me on a daily basis. Like, I cannot even get into that young person's mind. And there is a lot of destruction that's yet to come. There's a lot of these vulnerable young women that have been exploited. Because, again, you don't stop biology. The
that's
reason
right.
that the average age of entry into the sex trade is somewhere between 13 to 15 years old is because that's where they're exploitable. That's where they can be the most easily manipulated.
Yeah, the easiest target at that time. We're
right.
up on a break, Jeff. Just hold that thought. We're up on a break. We're talking to Jeff from All Things Possible. VictorMarx.com is the website there, M-A-R-X. And then we've got Mark here in the studio. Counter Human Trafficking Joint Task Force, an incredibly important topic that we're covering today. Not easy to hear, but you got to hear it. That's why you need to share this over and tell other people. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about human trafficking today, child sex trafficking, all the mess that's involved in there, all the darkness. Mark's here in the studio, Counter Human Traffic Joint Task Force. His friend Jeff is on the phone. He's also with Victor Marx, All Things Possible, and that website is victormarx.com. We have some people on Facebook Live checking that out right now and asking some questions. Jeff, I have some more questions for you. Thanks for joining us today. Of course, Mark in the studio. And I think Mark had a question for you, Jeff, so Mark, go ahead.
I wanted to comment on the air the similarities of what he described occurring here in the States is also happening overseas. So the vacancy of NGOs in certain countries that we work in, where there's typical bustling about of Americans helping those who are in need, that's not there. And so the desperation of the economy to eat, to whatever, is turning many families to selling their children or into false hopes of a job at country X nearby. And we're seeing that it's just out of control, Even though borders are supposedly closed.
Sure.
I mean, I can take you to borders where I've went for 200 pesos. You're good, man. You're going across.
Yeah, you're in.
You know, or people are looking the other way. So it is such a problem. One thing I want to ask Jeff was, I know that ATP and his expertise is making a focus for those in those pedophiles. Is that nationwide, Jeff? Tell me where you guys are really going to be hitting the nail on the head.
We're going to try to focus as much as we can in the United States. That is a tough nut to crack. you know, because when you're talking about, even so, this new term I want to present to you as well, Steve, CP, child pornography. They've actually changed the term now to child sexual abuse material, CSAM, which I really like, because pornography has too much of a denotion that people are attracted to it. You know what I mean? Like there's some right. normalcy to it. So when you call it child sexual abuse material, that is exactly what we're dealing with. And there isn't a place for a citizen or a nonprofit to access that stuff. That is the sole propriety of the government. You know, and these lures and figuring out what these pedophiles are up to. It's going to be a tough space. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure it out, and one of the things we're looking at over this year is really meeting with law enforcement to figure out how we can assist them. Like I said, these special victims units, the sex crimes unit, they are being gutted. I mean, we're talking big cities like L.A., New York City. We're talking small cities, you know, like the suburbs in Kansas, you know. So they are going to need our help. So I guess it's a long answer, Mark, we're really trying to figure this out in the United States. You know, they're obviously, ATP still has some work that they've been doing in Cambodia and Iraq and Syria, and we'll continue to work that as well. But I think this is the under-resourced focus right now, is this online sexual abuse by these pedophiles that ultimately too often leads to hands-on.
Yeah, yeah. We run into, so the C-SAN that... I just had a question. How much of it is, in your experience here in the States, is American children being exploited that direction versus it's international pedophilia from, you know, other countries?
So
fed into the States.
Yeah. So the CSAM is something different because that's visual, that's imagery. Now, right. The way the system works is if you're going to access more and more, if you're going to access child sexual assault material, you've got to produce it. Okay, so that's becoming more and more. So there's much more production happening in the United States. But again, it's literally underground. It's in somebody's basement. We're not necessarily going to see that. You know, so the exchange, there's much more production coming out of the U.S. than there used to be. But when you're talking about hands-on, there aren't a lot of children coming across borders and being physically abused in the U.S. While that does happen, right, again, the estimate is probably somewhere less than 10%. These are American kids that are being abused. And Mark, you already touched upon it too with how you're talking about things overseas. As we talk about the opioid crisis and people that are unemployed, all of that feeds parents, caregivers, selling their children to feed their habit. So while we don't have the level of poverty that does exist in other countries, we do have criminality, drug issues that are absolutely rampant. One other thing, again, seems we're on the phase here of just making people angry.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a lot of orphan problems in the United States, but we have a lot of foster care, right?
Yep.
And foster care is one of, if not the biggest recruitment place for pedophiles and child abusers. And it is absolutely known. It's just the devil in the room that we have to live with.
Yeah.
Because how do you know? How do you know when you're trying to provide a child with a safe place, just like you're talking about, Mark, with an orphanage or these places where we're feeding them? How do you know that that's a wolf in sheep's clothing? So
right.
These are all things that we've got to chip away at.
Yeah, I mean, how do you know it's a safe place in the first place? We're talking to Jeff from All Things Possible. That's Victor Marks, MARX.com. And then Mark is here in the studio, Counter Human Trafficking Joint Task Force. Jeff, I get messages from various people talking about Pizzagate and special language and out in Hollywood and some elected officials that have been busted in some of these child sex trafficking and sexual abuse things. But should we be focusing on that? Or is the bigger part of the problem definitely like local and kind of behind the scenes versus the sensational thing of going after Hollywood? What's kind of the epicenter? What's the bigger problem here in America? Where should we focus?
It's much more simple. And here's the thing, Steve. So you've got to think of this as an economy, right? This is they call it an underground sex economy. So think of it as a business, all right? And, okay, I hope Coke or Pepsi doesn't sue me. But let's consider this a beverage, right? That's Coca-Cola. Everybody drinks Coca-Cola, right? Rich people drink Coca-Cola, but they're the ones that are on the commercials. You know, they're standing there with a Coke. But that's how this sex industry is. there are millions of people participating in the sex industry across the United States, but we're overly focused on the rich and the famous. The rich and the famous are not going to keep the economy going. And in fact, the guys like Epstein, and do you remember Jared from Subway back, you know, a few years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys never touched the commercial sex economy because they didn't need to. They had a wealth that they could create their own kind of private little beverage company. You know what I mean? So what is feeding the underground sex economy in the United States is every social class, every demographic. We can tell no difference between people that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to those that are on welfare. Yeah. You cannot run the gamut. Now, what we can see is there's a slight overrepresentation of African-American girls and Latino Hispanic girls that are the victims. So that's another one of those things. When we talk about who we're trying to help and who we're trying to save, why this hasn't raised itself to this level of inequality and some of these old scars on America is troublesome to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of ignorance there, and there's so much pornography. A lot of people don't feel like waving a flag when they're kind of in that world themselves. There's a lot of people asking during the whole show, especially on Facebook, Jeff and Mark, but Jeff specifically, you know, we're aware, we're engaged, we care. What can we do? So what can we do to help what God is doing through you, everybody at All Things Possible? And, of course, we were talking to Mark earlier, but how can we help?
Well, obviously, one of it is this is my new profession, right? This is all I do. This is all I study. This is all I do. You know, so supporting these organizations that are representing you and your passions, these nonprofits, is a really good one. The other one is at your local level, make your voice heard. Okay, I heard Mark, you were saying that there was, I think it was the Ministry of Tourism or something, who said, sex trafficking, sex tourism doesn't exist in my country. Look, man, we've got DAs. The town I live in, the DA says sex trafficking doesn't happen here.
Jeez.
Okay? Yeah. And the only way he is going to address it is when the people, the community, demand it, because these are elected officials. And one of the reasons people sometimes think that sex trafficking is decreasing is because it's left the streets. You know, there aren't the streetwalkers out there at the levels that there used to be. It's all online. Now, when you have a woman who's being sold on the street corner, people will call in and say, hey, clean this up. Unless they start to call in and demand that there are some allocated resources addressing this issue, it's just going to fall. And I can't blame law enforcement. Even when you talk about law enforcement agency, when they have a budget cut, and they have to list out what are their critical tasks.
Man,
counter pedophiles and counter sex trafficking is hard to stack up against murders, burglaries, thefts, and all of these other things that the community insists they deal with. So our voice has to be unified, and any chance they get, they need to talk to city councils, state representatives, district attorneys, and say, what are you doing to address this problem in our area? And the more those voices are heard, the more dollars will be allocated.
Yeah, make them see the light or make them feel the heat. I mean, you only have two options there. But in terms of supporting you, Jeff, and everything going on at All Things Possible, ATP, if you keep hearing that phrase, victormarks.com, how can we help you guys directly?
Well, number one is prayer. I mean, that's the biggie. You know, dollars will get you so far, but that air support, you know what I mean? Anytime I went on an objective in my career, it sure felt good to have that air support. Yeah, I didn't necessarily hear it or see it, but I knew it was there, you know, and if it was needed. So, you know, that prayer is always required. And then again, everything takes dollars, and especially as we explore how to really combat pedophiles in the U.S., there's a bunch of different pilot programs we're going to have to build and learn from to come up with some real solutions.
So get over to victormarks.com, victormarks, M-A-R-X.com, with All Things Possible. You can find out about that with Mark being on the show today as well. If you want to find out more about getting involved there or helping them out financially, just message me personally or email me at steve@thestevenobleshow.com or find me on Facebook and I'll get you connected either way. Jeff, thanks so much for your work. Thanks for much being on the show. And let's make sure we do this again real soon, okay?
Hey, special hello from Victor, Steve. He's
awesome.
Looking forward to seeing you again soon.
That's awesome. Thanks, bro. And Mark, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Thanks, guys.
This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.